Welcome to a special edition of the Boulder City Podcast. Today we're going to celebrate the life of Sandy Nelson, the longtime Boulder City resident and musician who was influential in the formation of rock and roll as a musical genre. Sandy had two hits in the late 50s and early 60s, Teen Beat and Let There Be Drums. He influenced a generation of drummers with his steady beat and innovative style. Sitting down with us today is K.R. Kent Farrell, who knew Sandy since he was a teenager working at the Best Music Store in Las Vegas. K.R. and I spoke last week with stories about Sandy's life in music and in Boulder City and about an upcoming celebration of life for Sandy being held on April 9th at Bicentennial Park in Boulder City. The Boulder City Podcast is sponsored by Emerald Isle Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, your hometown casinos. Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. My guest today is K.R. Kent Farrell. K.R. and I go way back. You know, we're here to talk about your friend Sandy Nelson. Sandy passed away recently, and we're holding a celebration of his life, what, on April 6th?
Is April 9th. April 9th. Yeah, 9th at the park in Boulder City, is that called the Rotary Park,
That's right, yep. And anybody who's lived in Boulder City for the past 10 years knows Sandy. He was on the street all
20,
the time.
20, 30 years.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
And, you know, he was just a fixture in the community. And we want to celebrate his life. But let's go back and talk about what he meant, not just to Boulder City, but to the music business as a whole. I mean, you know, I had heard of him. I mean, even that was a little before my time. He had a couple of hits in the late 50s.
Right, yeah. Kind of his claim to fame from a musician standpoint was he was one of the very first guys to ever put recordings of drum parts with the sheet music. So before there was DCI, which is a video instruction company, and now, of course, YouTube and all the things that kids can learn from, nobody did it.
Yeah.
And so he, wild brain that he was, kind of a quirky cat, came up with this idea. And then, of course, that led to Let There Be Drums and Teen Beat and all the stuff that he's famous for, the ventures and the surf music.
I didn't even realize that part. I mean, he actually put the drum.
But that was if you talked, and again, it was before my time.
Yeah,
I'm 57 years old. So, guys in their mid 60s, will tell you musicians, oh man, if it wasn't for Sandy Nelson, I would have never become a musician. I mean, I heard his stuff and I became instantly hooked on music.
And
some actually incredible musicians. You know, Vegas is a musical town. There's many, many different varieties of styles of music. There's a bunch of old school guys that are very, very educated, very wonderful musicians. Some of the best guys to ever play in the world have been through this town. And back when we had orchestras and things, there was thousands of super talented musicians. And it's amazing to me how I run across these guys who are these great big band players, great jazz players, great rock and roll players. Oh yeah, Sandy Nelson. You know Sandy Nelson. And I'll say, yeah, he's my neighbor. I've been hanging out with him for years. Crazy old man, you know?
Well, you know, you're a musician in your own right and very, very well accomplished. You've played in a lot of bands in the Vegas area, and you're sought after when people want a great drummer. So what was it like to meet Sandy Nelson? And did you know who he was when you first met him?
When I first met him, funny story. So I'm a kid. I'm about 16-ish, I want to say. And there was this great music store in town called Mo Mahoney's Professional Music Store and Drum Shop. Shoppy, S-H-O-P-P-E. And Mo came out from back east. In the trunk of his car, he had drumsticks, reeds, you know, mouthpieces for horns, guitar strings, because Vegas blew up as a music town when the mob was here and they were doing all those wonderful things. Entertainment, Sinatra, you know, all those guys that grew up in Vegas that came through the town, he realized that there was a big hole in the market for musical instrument needs. And all these musicians couldn't buy a reed anywhere in the middle of the flipping desert, you know? So Mo started it out of the back of his car. Anyway, it blossomed into this incredible music store that was much more than a music store. It was like home for everyone. You could go there at, say, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and the guys from Frank Sinatra's band would be there, and the guys from Neil Sedaka's band would be there, and Tina Turner would walk through the door. And it was sort of this meeting place for and a great music store. I mean, he had every line, everything that you could possibly dream of. And I worked there as a kid. Yeah, I would stock the, clean the drums up, tune the drums.
This was in Vegas.
It was in Vegas at Charleston and Maryland Parkway. Okay. Legendary store.
Right.
Legendary around the whole southwest part of the United States. Mm-hmm. There was nothing like this in California till the Guitar Center grew up and became a real store. Mo Mahoney's Music Center was the West Coast biggest, like New York Drum is now. Sure, right. You know, it's huge. It was probably 7,000 square foot of different buildings mixed together of all different departments. Anyway, so I'm working there. And there's this guy who's following me around, you know, and I'm cleaning stuff up and stocking sticks. And he's telling me jokes. And he's there the next day. He's there. And he's got drumsticks in his hand. And he's hitting on, we got practice pads and stuff all around the store. And he's doing all these great rudiments. And he's showing me, hey, let me see your left hand, kid. And I'd show him my left hand. And it sucked horribly back then. I was weak. And he would show me these little tricks and little rudiment stuff. Mm-hmm. But he would tell these stories all the time. And I was like, you know, he's wearing me out, you know? So finally, I go to the owner, Mo, and I say, hey, Mo, who is this guy who keeps following me around the store all day? And he says, you don't know who that is? And I said, he's just a strange old guy that keeps following me around. I don't know who he is. He seems to like me, you know?
Right.
So Mo, in his office, pulls out records and books and newspaper clippings. He says, that's Sandy Nelson, dude. That's Sandy Nelson. Right. Yes. I had no idea who he was. Huh. And that's the way we met, was at the music store. We would sit down behind, we had multiple drum sets set up. And we would sit down behind the drums and he would go, doom, dag, doom, doom, that Louis Belson kind of thing. Right. And I would join in. And next thing you know, there's five drummers playing along. And and they were all there to hang out with Sandy, man.
Really,
you know,
really.
It was great. Great time. That's how I met him.
Okay.
30-some years ago.
So this was after he had his accident and had part.
He had one leg and he had to sit up. He lost his bass drum leg, his right foot. So he would play bass drum with his left leg, which try it out sometime, kids. No joke. And you never knew.
Yeah.
He would close the hi-hat just a little bit slushy and just kind of open a little bit. And then he would play with his left foot on the bass drum, which I sit down and try and do it, and I'm a retard.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, he had this accident in 1961, right after his second hit, the Teen Beat hit, and it didn't seem to slow him down.
Didn't slow him down any at all. I mean, you saw him at the end of his, you know, functional life, all over Boulder City in his wheelchair like he was a kid again, you know?
Yeah.
He was one of the most interesting guys, not just from a musical standpoint, but just his way of thinking and what turned him on and the way he would talk about things. Just,
right.
Just a very interesting, eccentric guy.
Yeah. Well, I was reading some of his history. He played with Bruce Johnston, you know, who later was a Beach Boy, you know, in his early days. I think right around the time Let There Be Drums came out. Who else did he play with down through his career?
Well, I don't really have his discography together, but I know, here's the what I know. Everybody who's anybody claims that he influenced them so heavily, you know? I know he did some time with the Ventures, and he was kind of instrumental in a whole bunch of that surf movement. But again, way before my time, so I'm not... I play that music today, but I don't know any of the real history of it, because it's just another gig to me,
But,
yeah. And he, you know... I know he played with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've played in a couple of bands in my life, and when I saw Sandy was here, and I talked to my drummers from the former band, and Sandy Nelson, are you kidding?
Hey, you probably know more about who he played with than I do.
It was just amazing, you know. And of course, I think it was 5 years ago on St. Patrick's Day where I come up to
Was it Backstop or somewhere?
No,
was it one of the places we played?
Yeah. And Sandy Nelson there, and Chris Slade, the drummer from AC/DC, is playing with him. And, you know, AC/DC is a pretty big band. You know?
Well, and Chris, wow, what a sweetheart of a cat.
What a nice
you know, here's a funny story. There's a drummer in Vegas, super great player, pretty famous here in town, Jim Lovegren.
Okay.
And Jimmy said, KR, the AC/DC drummer, wants to meet Sandy Nelson, and I know you're good friends with him. Could I figure out a way to connect you guys? And I told him, yeah, have him come out to the gig. We're playing on Tuesday nights out there in Boulder City, and he showed up.
Yeah.
And the biggest gentleman, and you know, we're talking about a perfect rock and roll drummer.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you can't get any better than that.
Right.
AC/DC, just think about how perfect that music was played.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not spectacular, crazy, wacky drumming, but perfection.
Yeah.
You know? And he was a gigantic fan of Sandy Nelson.
Right.
Same thing.
Sure.
I would have never played without Sandy Nelson.
Yeah.
And boy, you should have seen that night. The two of them together were like kids in a candy store.
Yeah, I was there. I remember.
Yeah, we were sitting at the table there. And I've got pictures of that night somewhere on my phone. I'll try and share them with you so you can set them up on this deal.
I have a picture of me and Sandy and Chris Slade. So,
okay. Yeah, well, great. It must have been the same night, right?
Yeah, it was.
And I've talked to Chris since then.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, he sends condolences and wishes he could be here. Mm-hmm. And he's traveling. So.
Right. So I was also reading that Steven Tyler, the lead singer from Aerosmith, was heavily influenced by Sandy because he started out as a drummer, apparently.
Right.
And again, he says the reason he got into rock and roll is he wanted to be Sandy Nelson. So, you know, somebody, in fact, they're just doing a residency here in Vegas over the summer, I believe.
Well, geez, don't you wish we had timed that right?
Yeah, right.
We could have got him.
Really?
You know, that's a story that it runs through the music business.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been fortunate enough to play with some pretty heavy acts, and I hear that story time and time again. As a matter of fact, I put out a Facebook post when he was not doing well in hospice.
Right.
And the response I got was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was some pretty high-level guys going, yeah, he was the guy. If it wasn't for him, I would have never done what I do.
Right.
And I would have never fallen in love with the music business, you know.
Let's listen to a little bit of Sandy's first hit, Teen Beat, released in 1959 and hit number 4 on the singles charts, a real accomplishment at that time for an instrumental.
Boulder City, do you know?
He was here. I showed up in 1999. I bought my house here, but I had been hanging out and playing out here prior to that as a kid.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until then where I really started hanging out with him.
Yeah.
And knew where his house was. And so he was here before then. I'm not really sure. You know, he used to have, I don't know if you know this or not, but he had a bootleg radio station.
I read that in
called of all things K-Poop,
and he got
You know, I would go on and we would talk for half hour or something, and then he'd play Alley-Oop or some goofy tune he was really into the Krupa thing, so he liked to play jazz for the 5 mile radius or whatever the radio. Matter of fact, he got busted by the FCC, or something, because he turned up the amplification and he was reaching people in Kingman and stuff. And apparently, you're not supposed to do that
that's a
Sandy Nelson.
Sure.
So one year, I had left my car downtown Boulder City after after a night of a little too much fun. And it's Thanksgiving morning, and I'm walking from my house downtown, and I'm going by Sandy's house, and I hear, Hey, it's Big Sandy. And so I it was the first year I was in town or something.
Yeah.
And so I walk over to his house, and we spent the entire morning on K-Poop, playing music and telling jokes. And talking about people and laughing our butts off. And he had all these sound effects, fart noises and stuff. You know, he's just a crazy old guy, man. And so we ended up doing that a couple times. And from that day, he came home with me for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And then he came and ate at my house probably 10 Thanksgivings and 10 Christmases. And
that's great.
He was a fixture at our house, man. Every time we had a party, you've been to some parties.
Sure, right, yeah.
You know, so...
So, you know, I know that you mentioned this pirate radio station. I'm a big Elvis Costello fan, and I was seeing something. He played at a little record store in Liverpool. He was back to in his hometown, and this guy had a little radio station in the basement, the same kind of bootleg radio station.
Oh yeah.
And Elvis is playing, the first song he plays is Let There Be Drums, and he puts the album cover up on the front. And
I didn't know that. I'm a huge Elvis Costello fan.
Okay,
too,
me too. Yeah,
mostly because he married the love of my life, Diana Krall.
Yeah, really, she's gorgeous.
If she'd only met me first.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would have loved me.
But no, so let's talk about what his life was here in Boulder City. I mean, he did have that tragedy where his house caught on fire.
Yeah,
and
the community came to his rescue like you wouldn't believe. Like he was a Boulder City treasure. I mean, I mentioned to Gene Whitner, who's kind of running the show.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if we had like one of those stars that they put in front of, in Hollywood
down there.
With Sam, and she thought it was, but that's really, he deserves that.
He does, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He should have a statue or, you know how we do that.
Sure.
It's an art community and there's a lot of really cool things that people do here in relation to that. And it's amazing how people that I didn't even know cared about music at all.
Right.
Treasured Sandy Nelson. He was a gift to the town. I mean, you talk about the guys that built the dam. Yeah, they're cool.
Sure.
Sandy Nelson, top of the list, man. You know, I mean, who the hell was Hoover? Nobody cares about Hoover. They care about Sandy Nelson.
Right.
You know,
right.
Kind of an amazing thing, man.
Right. No, he's one of our celebrities in town, along with Desi Arnaz Jr.
Yeah, Desi. I wonder who's bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Both great cats,
yeah,
man. Desi was a great cat, and his wife, Miss Amy.
Sure, she was wonderful.
An amazing human. My kids all went through that program.
Yep. Yeah, mine too.
Yeah.
So.
You know, one of my best memories of Sandy is I used to go meet him at the Coffee Cup, the world famous Coffee Cup now, if you've ever watched that, whatever that guy's show.
Right.
What's his name?
Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri, superstar guy. And Al, who owns the Coffee Cup, recently passed away, which is... Al was an amazing cat. But I would sit at the bar. And, you know, there's pictures of Sandy and his records and stuff up there.
Yep.
And I have, in my possession today, I got to find them, napkins. He would write drum lessons out for
me.
This is what Buddy Rich did on this solo.
Oh, really?
Between his hands and feet. And he would write it out for me. Then with spoons and a fork and his foot and cups, and we would play through it, you know? And then he'd say, yeah, but Buddy did this, you know, and then he would do the Buddy thing. And then he would say, this is a Gene Krupa solo.
Yeah.
And he would write that out on a napkin. Yeah. And then he'd say, and Krupa did it this way. So we're talking about a cat who's like, you know, judicating the best drummers who have ever lived.
Right.
And he's playing it effortlessly with the wrong foot and spoons and a knife on a plate in a coffee cup. And pretty soon there's 20 people standing behind us going, wow, man, dig that, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a regular Thursday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean...
Some of the best moments of my life. I can't even believe that I got to do that.
Sure. I mean, just to see him around town, and like you said before, he was all over town. I mean, you find him in every corner of the town. What are you doing up here? You know, how did you get up here in the wheelchair?
Yeah, I mean, I got plenty. I'm 2 good feet, and I got to drive my car everywhere.
Yeah, right.
You know, and there's Sandy. He's down by the Bighorn Sheep at the park down there. I'm like, there's no way for your scooter to make it down here. How'd you do that? You know, I stop at that guy's house, and he lets me charge up, and I take a nap, and then I go on. And, 120-degree weather, he's over at B's, or he's up at the golf course, or he's, you know. He was always a go-getter and always liked to go and explore and do. He used to tell me stories about when he was a kid, the tunnel systems in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever hear the story about the cave?
No, I didn't know.
About, you know, his house that burned down, there was a cave that he dug by hand.
Really?
And it went all the way under the street, damn near to Grant Turner's house, across the street. I've been inside the cave.
Yeah.
It's not a joke. It was real. And he did it because he was an underground guy.
Yeah.
That's what he says, I'm an underground guy. So when he was a kid, apparently, he did the same thing, or there was sewer systems and tunnel systems in old L.A., and a completely different society of people.
Yeah.
And Sandy was well connected in that group of people. And he said, "It's underground, man. I'm an underground guy. That's what I do." You know, I just thought that was the craziest.
Yeah.
You know, and it was crazy because he did that with one leg.
Yeah.
Well, and there's rocks out behind his house that were 75-pound, 100-pound rocks that he rolled out of the cave. You know?
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah, just an accomplished man in the weirdest way.
Yeah. Well, the thing that always blows me away is that, you know, he had two hits, two top 10 hits, which in back in the 50s and 60s, it was tough to get a top 10 hit. It wasn't like you had access to a recording studio at your fingertips or on your phone or anything like that. You had to go in and so he had two top 10 hits that were instrumentals. And back in those days, there were more instrumental hits. They had the Ventures and you know, and some of those bands that were all instrumental, but you know, to have the drums as front and center.
The drums were the key part of the song.
I mean, that's just unbelievable. I mean,
and it wasn't some love song with a doo-wop guy and you know, all the things that the record companies were pushing.
Right.
It was the most obscure thing that you would never think would be a hit, and they were gigantic hits.
They were huge hits. And is there any other instrumental hit that was focused on the drums? I can't think of any. I mean,
Krupa had Sing Sing
Sing.
Yeah,
that's true. But that was not, know, rock and roll. You know,
I mean yeah. There's been a lot of things that you know, Steve Gadd had Asia with the great drum solo.
Right, yeah.
Of course, Gadd's everyone's hero. You know,
yeah, but those were drum solos. You know,
I mean, yeah, it was Steely Dan. I mean, it wasn't. No, there's. You're right. I mean, with the exception of like Caravan.
Yeah.
Things like that, they were really drum forward type things. There's probably something that I'm just not smart enough to know about, but
I can't think of anything else.
You know, I've been listening. I have to play those songs on I'm in over my head.
Yeah,
I can tell you that right now. They seem simple. Everybody kind of jokes that it was simplistic stuff. Okay, well, go break it down. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Cool Guy. Right. You know. It was just amazing that they became such a success and such an unassuming guy. You would think if it was like a Liberace type or some flamboyant sort of dude, but it was Sandy.
Yeah.
Like mild, meek, quiet, you know, until he started playing drums.
Yeah.
And then he was the animal that he was, you know.
And I'll bet animal on the Muppets was had a little inspiration by Sandy
Animal on the Muppets. Sandy Nelson was his hero. Yeah, I partied with that guy, man. He's nuts, crazy. The whole band just party animals.
Yeah,
you know?
I can imagine.
Yeah, world by a string.
So,
and here's a piece of "Let There Be Drums," which charted number 7 in September of 1961.
Son, correct?
Right. Josh and Lisa, I really don't know Lisa very well.
Yeah.
Talked to her a handful of times on the phone. Josh I knew because he was here.
Mm-hmm.
And nice kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's
he loved his kids, man. I guess at some points in life they probably weren't perfect together or something, but he always talked about them and always loved them and he always had great things to say about him.
Great. So what's on tap for this celebration of his life on April 9th?
Well, I know that there's going to be a DJ-type guy spinning some of the stuff that he played on.
Yeah.
And, of course, his tunes. I think that there's going to be a lot of storytelling.
Sure.
The kids are going to tell some stories. It's been brought to my attention some of the old musicians are going to show up. We're just going to play a few of the tunes.
Yeah.
It's really not a well-orchestrated thing. We're going to really do it the way Sandy did it.
Sure.
You know? And we're going to pay homage to a great cat. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch the sunset because it was his thing.
Right.
And we're going to tell some corny jokes because that was really his thing. I mean, the funniest thing. I used to tell this joke about when drums stopped very bad, and I won't give it away. We'll do it at the thing.
Right.
But Sandy thought it was the funniest joke.
Yeah.
It's almost like he had Alzheimer's all over again every day because he would tell me that joke every day. And K.R. told me the funniest joke, the best joke I ever heard. And, you know, and then he would proceed to take a stab at it, you okay, know.
Like 50.
So we'll tell the joke at the thing, and everybody will understand.
Will there be a drum set there for anybody who's inspired?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm going to bring a little drum set. And, you know, I haven't brought this up, but if any other drummers in town want to come with a floor tom or some kind of tom-tom, if we could get 100 guys playing that Gene Krupa style, Let There Be Drums thing, I'm working every day in Arizona, and I haven't had time to get together with my brothers and put that together, but I'll tell you,
we'll try to get the
we could get a drum line going, and if anybody's familiar with that kind of stuff and has a drum that they want to bring, I think it would reach out to Sandy, and it would put some good vibes into the universe.
Sure, definitely. You know. Okay, Art, thanks for sitting down with us. We really appreciate it. So it's April 9th at 5 o'clock it starts,
April 9th, 5 o'clock, 5 to 8 or whatever happens. Whenever. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know the... I would assume that it's probably not one of those things that's licensed to sell liquor and all that stuff. Right. So, but we're in Boulder City make yourself happy. Yeah. Make yourself comfortable.
Okay,
when you come, picnic blanket and a cooler and whatever you think Sandy might appreciate. You know.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and really we need to celebrate his life because he was a big part of this community, and we want to make sure that people remember him.
And they will. I celebrate his life every day. Every time I sit behind the drum set, I'm thinking about the cat. You know.
Right.
And that's every day for me.
Yep.
So.
Great.
Yeah, he a big influence, hero.
Great.
You know? Thanks, man.
Well, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Boulder City Podcast, sponsored by Emerald Island Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, your hometown casinos. Don't forget to attend the Celebration of Life with Sandy Nelson on April 9th at Bicentennial Park. Bring a drum if you're so inclined. It'll make sure Sandy hears it up from heaven. So we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.